Like whenever I'm thinking about the animals in the sixth, I'm like, smaller than a sheep, smaller
Smaller than a sheep. Don't
than
press. Oh, welcome to Orbitals, an astrology podcast. I'm your host, William Holloway, and today's show is all about the sixth house. With me to discuss and dissect is my friend and astrologer, Vivian from Stars in Alignment. Welcome.
Hello.
How is it going?
Well, you know, we are in a very, very dynamic week, and I'm feeling the pull and the push of the Mars-Uranus square and the Jupiter-Saturn square that are happening simultaneously in just a couple days. So I feel like there have definitely been a lot of pivots and modifications. I feel a lot of pressure right now, but
yeah. Pivot and modification, I think, are two really good words. You posted on Threads, we were talking about earlier. What do you want? Do you mind repeating what you said? Because I think it's a really good thing for people to remember for this Mars Uranus square.
I mean, I think this, and also the nature of what we're going to talk about today, like we can be pulled into a position of fear or anxiety very easily. What's going to happen? What's going to come of this? And sometimes when it comes to our own personal astrology, it's all about taking a very simple perspective. And particularly with Mars and Uranus, you know, one pushes us to do something, and the other one is all about the erratic nature of the ever fluctuating world around us and circumstance that's beyond our control. So ultimately, it's about being adaptable. How can we change our plans? I mean, it's so simple. And yet in the moment, we just think the most catastrophic thing is about to happen, when really it's just, you know, there is a road closure and we have to take a different route to pick up, you know, our friend from the airport.
Right. Or you go to the restaurant that you had reservations for all month and they don't have you on the list, but the place across the street might have something and it ends up being better anyway, you know?
Right.
I think it's important that so much of the astrology can be mundane things like that. And it's not always, you know, life-changing stuff.
And I remember like that too. I think, you know, there are seasons of life. There are periods of work. There are things that, being human, like there are unavoidable. So it doesn't always have to be life or death. I mean, it can be, but it doesn't always have to be. And I think we have to get away from assuming the worst thing always.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that when we get into this discussion about the sixth house, we're going to see that there can be serious life things with the sixth house, but there can also be, you know, life affirming things with the sixth house. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, with that, shall we get into our discussion on the sixth house?
I'd love it.
All right. Awesome. So on this podcast, me and my guests have covered the eighth house, then the 12th house, and now we are doing the sixth house. All of those houses have something in common.
Fearful places.
Yeah. They're the fear. Really can only go up right after this one.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So if we had to make two lists, one for our listeners, you know, when we were talking traditional, we're talking about significations that are 2,000 years old.
Right.
And there is a point that I will bring up later, but there is a certain evolution of those topics that still aligns with us living in a more modern world. But many of these significations were based on a life of toil.
Yeah.
And a much shorter lifetime.
Much shorter.
So if we had to make two lists, what would you think is in the modern list to start?
Well,
I have.
I was going to make my own list, and then I was looking through, you know, I feel like this is at this point my Bible, but the Ancient Astrology in Theory and Practice, Volume 2 by Dimitri George. I don't know why I'm showing it, because this is not a video podcast, but, and you already know this one very well. In this book on the houses, at the end of each chapter on the houses, she does list traditional significations versus modern. So she says, all right, so list of traditional significations, she lists misfortunes, troubles, bad luck, illness and disease, accidents and injuries, servitude, slavery, jobs, bondage and oppression, military and armed services, enemies, insurrections, and small animals as workers.
Yes. And you know, since you brought up the idea that the definition of the sixth is because of its relationship to the seventh.
Right.
The angles are the pillars of the chart. And what is falling away from the angle, or what has failed to reach the angle, is our obstacle to getting to the seventh, which is like a place of reward, of rest, of partnership, of ease, of pleasure. So I love that, you know, all of these things, like once we get done with the toil of the day, then we can rest. Or once we get over this illness, we can feel at ease and we are able to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And the small animals part is interesting because I will say this, and I have seen it time and time again, while it is no longer animals that serve, pets are so clearly delineated in this chart.
They are.
There is an astrologer in New York. I told her that in my solar return chart for 2024, that I had a sixth house stellium and I was really concerned about it. And she's like, you should just do remediation. She's like, work with small animals.
I love that.
I didn't do it.
Oh, we did.
But I have a friend who just finished a sixth house year, and unfortunately his beloved pet passed away.
Oh.
So I think pets do really show up in the sixth, even though they are no longer farm animals.
Yeah.
They're smaller than an ox or a sheep or whatever was written in the ancient texts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. I think they are sixth house. My last sixth house perfected year, my roommate who I was living with at the time had to put his cat down, and I was there for that. So that was definitely a theme. And yeah, I mean, the animals aren't workers anymore like they were then, unless you're on a farm, maybe. But although now that I'm thinking about it, what small animals work, like, don't the bigger ones usually do the work? I'm like, which small animals are doing work?
I have a friend who used to do dog races and dog sledding.
Mm, okay.
And I think it was smaller than a sheep. So maybe it was like herding dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're dependent on us too, right? I mean, they can't, you know, the pets that we have, dogs, animals, like they need us. You know, maybe, you know, if you see your animals as children, then maybe that shows up fifth or fourth house. I've seen people, you know, whose animals are like very close with them, and that they, you know, that it can be. But I do think most of the time you're going to find your pet stuff in the sixth house.
Employers or employees.
Ah, employers or employees. Uh-huh.
I'm curious to know if employees or people that work for us are sixth house as a modern signification or a traditional one.
She did not list it in here. She did say jobs, servitudes, slavery, jobs, and traditional significations. I've had jobs where I've been a manager and I've had people report to me. And the last one I had was during a six house perfected year where I had a bunch of
people. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't like my dream job. It was just like most of my jobs have been six house.
So I think that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we all have to do something in this capitalist world for money.
Yeah.
And most of the time, some part of that job, even if not all of it, will feel like labor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I took away from really thinking about this episode is that this house being the joy of Mars.
Yes.
Is really the way that I look at that house. So it can show up as, you know, if you're doing a job that you love, then the martial sacrifice or the toil or the heaviness of the burden or the long hours can feel like an honorable thing. And If we are doing something that we absolutely hate, it can feel like a yoke around our neck. You know, when people come to me and they ask about their job or career or what's next, I always look at both the sixth and the 10th. And I also look at the first. I mean, it's very, and what's happening in the first? Like, is there a big change happening? Is that related to those other two houses? But I think it's important to think about the sixth as like, Mars can be challenging, but the nature of Mars is necessary. And I think that brings us back again to the beginning of the episode in that, you know, when traditional astrologers talk about the houses, you know, and we get a lot of flack for being really fatalistic or dark or heavy, I think there was this recognition that it is impossible to escape certain themes in the life. You will not go through an entire lifetime without experiencing burdens,
right,
or illnesses, or things that feel endless. That's another topic of the sixth, something that is so like the dishes that all, like, there are always dishes, they are right, always being generated, and that can, like, it's mundane, right? Yep. So you just accept the nature of the fact that you have to do the dishes every day.
Yeah.
So there is this like really mixed and kind of Gen X quality to the sixth house.
I like that.
You like the soldiers, like soldiers show up there, butchers, bakers, surgeons, people who are, you know, invested in the toil of daily living. So yes, are a lot of these significations kind of grim, kind of heavy? Sure. But they can be approached in such a way that it feels like a fight we're willing to fight, or something that we're willing to endure because we know that it's an inescapable part of living.
Yes, it's inescapable. And there's something about the sixth house too that I think about when I've looked at so many charts of different people, and the theme I was seeing, like when they've had sixth house stuff, it's like you're paying your dues.
Yeah. And again, that makes me think of the sixth house in relation to the seventh, like on the way to the good stuff, you know, we have to go through the fire.
Yeah. And then you can start building partnerships, and then you prove yourself, and then you make deals and contracts and all the things that can happen in the seventh. So yeah, love it. Well, additional modern significations she listed, pretty small. She just put health, daily regime, crisis, and transformation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that that's wrong.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that the sixth can bring about crisis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How about the sixth house versus 12th house axis? The relationship between the two.
I mean, the way I view that axis, like, and it wasn't that long ago that, I mean, I have very, very clear memories of the nodes being in those houses for me.
Mm.
And I feel like that polarity is a dance between the experience of the physical and the experience of the mental, more as in, what are we unconscious to? But also mental health, like physical health and mental health. Mm-hmm. So when that polarity is activated, there's something that comes up about both. And I've seen natives with the moon in the sixth are prone to a sort of hypochondria. And that makes a lot of sense when you're thinking about this polarity, and also, like, here's this thing that has to do with like the body and the lived experience and the sense of safety. And it's in a house that has to do with physical suffering or physical like burdens and weight.
Yeah. No, that's great.
How do you see that polarity? Because I just very recently I saw a modern astrologer refer to it in a very different way. And I was like,
really?
Oh, I want to look at that more deeply. Yeah.
Well, no, I would echo what you said. That's pretty much how I see it, is that like physical health, mental health, things that you're having to deal with that are right in front of you versus things that are like maybe needing to come to the surface that need to be dealt with.
Oh, do we talk about enemies at all? Because here we are.
Oh, right. Enemies. Well, I definitely talked about it in the 12th house episode, but that's related to this. I mean, so
Right.
yeah.
So, yeah, I always found it interesting that, when we're talking about the 12th and things that we cannot see, that hidden enemies belong in the 12th, and the 6th is open enemies. So, and I think here is where the fact that the significations came into being 2,000 years ago versus now.
Yeah.
The word enemy is loaded. And I think people perceive that word in a very specific way, depending on their own experience. But when I'm saying open enemies, it can be, again, very simple, just people that don't care about, they don't care about you.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be malignant, and it doesn't have to be someone coming after you with a sword or you getting, mugged.
Yeah.
It
Right.
can be just as simple as like someone at work is concerned about their advancement and doesn't care about yours. And somehow that ends up being a topic or a theme that's relevant during a sixth house transit or during a sixth house year, or if you have planets in the sixth, it could be thematic.
Yeah, we think about that, and it's really easy for us to be like, well, I don't have any enemies. Well, it doesn't
Right.
necessarily mean that someone wants you dead, but there are people that we don't necessarily jive with, and that and there may be friction, there may be issues, or someone that you work with maybe doesn't like the way you handle your work, and maybe there's all these little things. We don't get along with everyone,
I mean, and it doesn't even have to go that deep. It
Yeah.
could just be like being in the periphery of people whose self-interest outweighs their interest for you.
That's great. That's really important to remember. Well, something I did not talk about in the 12th house episode that I would love to bring up briefly, because we talked about pets in the sixth house. Pets, giant pets, like if you've got like, I don't know, a horse, if you've got horses, or if you have own a zoo, I don't know, you might be one of those people that lives in the Midwest that has all those exotic animals. They would live in your 12th.
Yes, and here's a very, very funny example.
Okay.
I have a friend who has a small farm, and it's a rescue farm, and she has her son in the 12th house. She has pigs that were rescued, horses that were rescued from circuses, and basically they rescue these animals that would otherwise have nowhere to go.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. That's a perfect example.
Right? And like when I met her and I was like, Sagittarius sun in the 12th, and she's a very like not what I would imagine a 12th house sun to be like.
Yeah.
And then the more and more I found out about her, I was like, oh, this completely makes sense.
Yeah, that's how it shows up. That's interesting. You see a lot of people with Sun in the 12th being, famous celebrities. There's various reasons that Sun in the 12th makes sense for celebrity, but who's more likely to own a wild exotic animal than a celebrity? You know what I mean? Like, so you think about like all these people. I don't remember where Michael Jackson's chart. I
It would
mean,
be animals larger than a sheep then. I don't know why
yeah.
that thing stuck in my
Yeah.
head. Being that of service and sacrifice. I think the way that makes sense to me is when I think of people that do or have careers that are service oriented.
Yes.
So, for instance, a teacher that works specifically with disadvantaged or developmentally challenged individuals. That would be a very sixth house job. And there's also an example of how, you know, that person could do it out of dedication and out of love. And the fact that it's sacrificial in nature on its own could mean that she doesn't see it as a burden, right? So here is a way that we can really view the sixth house, like her life isn't a life of slavery. It's a chosen life of service. And that's how it would show up in that person's life.
Yeah. Perfect. I love that. Like working for the government, like people that are like, you know, work for the federal government, have worked there since they got out of college. I know a lot of people don't. A lot of people got laid off. But it, generally, I see a lot of people with sixth house placements that work long term for the government. So
interesting.
A service job in
a
way, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I have Neptune in the sixth.
Mm.
I don't even know if I fully understand Neptune in the sixth.
Yeah. Well, anywhere Neptune is, it's hard to understand exactly what its purpose is, right?
I think that's the nature of the planet.
Yeah.
The thing that we desire to be most known for shows up in the 10th, whereas the thing that we end up doing as a way to support ourselves shows up in the 6th.
Yes, that's kind of a difference between the 6th and the 10th in that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So have you had recent sixth house experiences?
I have. Well, before the south node went into my fifth house, it was in the sixth house. And I have Pluto and Mercury in the sixth house. Specifically, when the south node hit my Mercury, I had a really hard time processing information. But then I also got into like a weight loss routine and changed up a lot of my habits during that time with the south node in my sixth house. So,
you know, I made a post a while back and I was saying that when we have transits to the sixth, that the sixth, like really very simple way to describe it is that the sixth house is the grind. And it can just feel like so much is happening that, and there's so much to take care of. And again, this idea that the nature of the sixth is always filling up, like it's the endless tasks and it's the endless toil. And so I had a sixth house stellium in last year's solar return chart, and it included a retrograde Mercury and my sun and Venus. When I was making notes for my taxes, I was like, I cannot believe how much I worked. And there was a health scare in there. There was an adjustment of my physical routines to sort of adapt to the nature of all of that work and to the health scare. So it was like, it made sense that there were so many planets there because it really attached so much of the life to this one place.
Yeah. The ways we experience the sixth house, besides if you have planets in the sixth house, you know, when you have transits to the sixth house, if you're having a sixth house perfected year, all of these like mundane-y things are going to show up. And like I talked about earlier, colonoscopy, you know what I mean? Like not fun, but necessary things that like you got to get done for your health or just in general, you know, burdens, tasks, all of that. Talking about ways that the sixth house can show up in your chart. One of the main things is when you have planets in the sixth. So I thought I would list off, first off, some people that have sixth house suns, and maybe we'll see some kind of trend here if we are familiar with these people. So here are some people that have their sun in the sixth house. Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, Betty White, Matisse, Marie Antoinette, Leonardo da Vinci, Pope Francis, Steven Spielberg, Muhammad Ali, Gloria Steinem, Mozart, and Naomi Judd.
That's very interesting. I mean, I think thinking about all of those very quickly in succession,
there's
a handful of tragic stories that stand out.
Yes.
Right? And my guess would be the condition of the
exactly, sun. Right?
I don't think we have any exalted suns in the sixth, you know, or any like sun trine Jupiter from the sixth, you know, like,
yeah, It's like there's a thing with like longevity versus like tragedy almost, you know?
Yeah, interesting. Well, longevity, I mean, when you think, like, I always think that Mars is this unstoppable force. You know,
Yeah.
I have a diurnal chart, and, you know, I think most of us can relate to Mars having been an unstoppable force in its fall for 6 months, and how we're just at this point right now where we're really waiting for Jupiter to sort of restore what was taken away by Mars. But Mars is unstoppable. Like, the nature of the sixth, repetitive, unstoppable, heavy, heated, like a lot of things that we think of. So maybe longevity makes sense there.
And unstoppable. I mean, Muhammad Ali, Gloria Steinem, Steven Spielberg, Betty White, these are all people I think of who have just like done so much, and they're known for their longevity and all the work they've done. So speaking of Mars, I thought this was interesting. Oh, real quick though, I did
Yeah.
want to quickly list off Moon because I found that these are people that have Moon in the sixth. Henry Ford, Lamborghini, Chevrolet. There were a couple other like ship. There was someone named John Ellerman, who's a famous ship owner before cars. So it's interesting. There's this like car theme where Mars has its.
Yeah.
But then you also have Frank Sinatra, Lady Gaga, Janis Joplin, Bob Dylan, Vincent van Gogh, Albert Einstein, Judy Garland, Joe Biden.
Wow. All moon, huh?
All Moon.
Well, Joe Biden had a very difficult life. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know for sure, but wasn't his wife killed in like a
In a car
car accident?
accident, yeah. He's a Scorpio, and having his moon in the sixth, it lends itself to having a tragic life or having a life filled with tragedies. Vincent van Gogh had a
Requires
winner.
perseverance. Yeah, Vincent van Gogh was an Aries though, so he did have an exalted son. It wasn't in the sixth, but
So
if he
yeah,
cut off his ear, can we assume that there was mental illness?
yeah, I think so.
And that goes back to this idea that the moon. Oh, one of the things that I didn't mention that I think it's not the most uplifting, but many people who have an assortment of planets, like more than one or two, can suffer from chronic illness.
Yeah, totally. I've seen that for sure. Yeah, or they'll have illness later on in life, or like a certain point in life, maybe their life ends early. Which and then this to close out, I know we need to go, but Mars in the sixth, I thought this list was the most interesting. So people with Mars in the sixth, Sean Connery, Audrey Hepburn, John Travolta, Matisse again, George Clooney, Clint Eastwood, Michael Moore, Gloria Steinem, Martha Stewart, Picasso, Hugh Hefner, Karl Marx, and Judy Garland.
Judy Garland's chart. That's a whole episode on its own.
Well, you know, out of all of those, she's the only one, because all of those are like very successful people, and she was too, but she had the early of all of those, her life ended the earliest and she had the most tragedy. Well, hers, Mars was in retrograde in the sixth. Martha Stewart and Gloria Steinem, both of their Mars were stationed. So that's interesting because they're both known for their longevity and helping shape the way women's daily role in life can be seen. I thought that was
Thing
interesting.
that I thought of with all of those examples, and you know, I want to be clear that when I'm referring to masculine or feminine with the planets, that I'm not talking about things that are positive or negative. I'm just simply stating like active versus receptive, or even cultural standards. That's the thing I thought of. When you were mentioning all of those, I was like, oh wow. I was like, the idea of Mars and masculinity and what is revered about the masculine is present in all of these, including the two that were most interesting, which is Martha Stewart and Gloria Steinem. Like, they challenged what was the feminine in this house that is the joy of the masculine malefic.
Yes. Ah, yes, I love that. Well, I feel like we really covered the sixth house. I mean,
more than anyone would like to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, we covered all the highs, the lows, and the everything in between. I've had amazing sixth house experiences that have been transformative. Also extremely challenging. I mean, it often is challenging, but it can be rewarding.
I think what I found to be really interesting is the ruler of the sixth in different houses.
Oh, so, yes.
Yeah, I don't think we had time to get to that, but like, you know, just as banter between us,
yeah,
like seeing the ruler of the sixth in the 10th gives this very Mars-like quality to the approach to the public persona. So you see someone who dedicates their life to what they believe to be their career or their legacy or what people think of them. Or the ruler of the sixth in the 11th could show someone who has a lot of conflict with their perceived friend group, right? Or has difficulty integrating into what they believe to be a collective identity, where they belong. Like, yeah. Those are the real subtleties that I think show up in, like, again, I always just think of Mars in this very martial way. Like, the ruler of the sixth in another house shows where you're willing to make sacrifice or the proclivity for conflict, depending on the condition of the ruler. But
yeah,
it's wild how that'll show up. Like, someone
really
who
is.
Sacrifices everything for, you know, their body, like someone who's a bodybuilder can have the ruler of the sixth and the first.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. That's where you really get into the minutiae of what the possibilities are. And anyone listening who wants to understand more about what their sixth house means or could mean can book a reading with Vivian or me, whoever. And you can find all of that information in the links below. What do you have going on right now before I let you go?
In terms of projects, in terms of, in terms of work projects,
yeah.
I think things are really shifting. I'm trying to start more of a writing practice. I think I'm collaborating with someone, and I can't mention it yet because we're not launching until later in the summer, but we are going to be having readings about the Uranus trine Pluto in their charts.
Ooh.
Because that will be, so that's going to be something that's coming up, and those are going to be limited. I'm really trying to embrace the shift of these outer planets and put a fresh face on the readings that I'm doing. So
I love it.
Just approaching new topics. A lot about the transitions of this year, but yeah, just trying to write more and trying to create a little bit more of a work-life balance, which I don't have very much of.
I understand, which is also associated with the sixth house. So there you go.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's always great to have you on, and we will do this again.
I look forward to it. Have a wonderful day.
You too. See ya.